We got to give them 40 seconds of dead air at the beginning.
Yeah, that's the key to keeping your audience dead air. especially when the opposite is us talking. I think dead air is actually not a bad way to go.
Yeah, plenty of people have written in to say we enjoy the dead air. And I'm not sure what that means.
They made a fan edit where they actually edited out all of our talking, kept the pauses. And it set all kinds of download records on iTunes.
They called it Better Yonder.
Yonder done better.
You're listening to Blue Yonder with your hosts, Jim Jones, Peter Streets, and introducing Aaron Hubbard.
Hey, everybody, I'm Jim Jones.
And I'm Aaron Hubbard.
You're listening to episode 60 of Blue Yonder at baldmove.com. And you can find us at Twitter at baldmove.com.
No, and at baldmove.com.
How many at baldmove.coms can we get into this intro?
At.
That's what I want to know. We're going to get our names stuck in your ears like a thick, creamy peanut butter.
Or ear. God.
That's pretty gross, right?
Yeah.
They just start off the show with one of those.
Yeah. I don't want to interrupt your flow to social media. Keep the social media flowing.
Oh, okay.
And then I have a disgusting anecdote.
So, well, I already gave him one.
Uh-huh.
So we're good on that.
All right.
So you can find us at Facebook, facebook.com/baldmove. Go to our forums, forums.baldmove.com. Sign up for all that stuff. The conversation is getting going in those forums. We got a lot of discussion about the last episode. A lot of interesting discussion. Got some new members. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. This week.
Do you want to hear my disgusting anecdote?
Yeah. Well, I do, but the listeners don't, so bring it.
All right. So I was on Facebook and I was eating dinner last night.
Big mistake.
Yeah. And I follow the Mythbusters and they had an outtake of, I guess they were doing Shrek myths. They're really scraping the bottom of the myth barrel.
Oh, yeah.
They're doing promotion of the week. People paid us money to do this bullshit.
Can donkeys really talk?
Busted. I don't know that Adam's kind of a jackass. but they're doing the thing like, can you make a candle out of human earwax, because apparently Shrek makes a candle
disgusting.
Out of earwax.
Yeah.
And they did it by harvesting. They showed them harvesting the earwax out of the people on the show's ears over the course of several months from doctor using instruments. And just the color, texture changes, and they were describing the smell.
Oh.
And then they actually melted the... I actually had to stop because it was made... You know, I'm pretty solid when it comes to... Like, I was eating through the brain dead scene with the pus and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
It was tough, but I made it through. I had to shut this stuff down. I can't even imagine what kind of holy hell... Earwax must have smelled
and tasted like.
Everyone has tasted earwax from time to time, right?
Is that true?
Yeah, because you like scratch your ear and then you don't think about it, and like it, you know, you've never tasted earwax.
No, I don't think so. I try not to do that.
All right,
I scratch my ear, but I don't stick it in my mouth afterward.
All right, well, maybe I'm the only one, but I've from time to time gotten a little taste of the bouquet of earwax, and it's vile.
Gross.
It's vile.
You're right. That is vile.
So, like, earwax tastes worse than I imagine human feces does, just based on the smell. I've never tasted that. Not even accidentally. You know how you're scratching your bunghole, and then you, like, put it in your mouth, smell it?
Oh, I have done that.
Oh, yeah. Who hasn't? It's a nice earthy smell.
Anyway, that's disgusting. Thank you for that anecdote.
We have lots of topics, right?
We do, yeah. This week, we're going to be talking about...
No, wait. Huh? We're not going to like talk about it until we do the cast off, right?
Oh, that's right. We got to determine who's going to go first. How are we going to do that this week?
Because
we did Rochambeau last week.
And we can't do D20.
Yeah.
I'm going to suggest guessing game. I'm going to pick a number between 1 and 10.
Really? The guessing game?
Yeah. And you guess a number, and then I'll guess a number.
I wonder if I'm going to get this one right.
I don't know. Let's find out. The listeners can't wait. So,
okay, what you got a number?
I got a number.
I'm going to guess that the number is, oh, I don't know, 5.
I'm going to guess 7, and it turns out the number is 8, so I was closer.
Wow, that was, I can't believe you got that. That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's solid effort on me.
Yeah.
Maybe next week you can do it. So I'm going to debut a new segment on Blue Yonder called Aaron Reads Slash Dot and Gets Pissed.
which is a daily segment in
your
life.
Yeah, it's a daily segment, and I'm kind of slumming it this Tuesday. We're actually recording a cast a day early.
Yeah, we don't usually record on Tuesdays.
Yeah, so it's kind of just, the energy feels weird. That's why
I'm totally irrelevant to the people who are listening on Friday,
right? No, it's
going to
get them in the mood for the whole Tuesday thing.
They can think back to what they were doing Tuesday.
Yeah, thinking about, the earwax they were chewing.
Gross.
So, Jesse Jackson Jr., who I can only assume...
Triple J.
He's a triple J
threat.
J cubed. Who I can only assume is the scion or scone. Is it scion or scone? I think it's
scion.
Yeah,
I think it's scone.
It's the scone. He's the scone of Jesse Jackson Sr., the famous black rights activist.
Okay.
That might not be true. I didn't Wikipedia it. I have no respect for the man. Pins U.S. job losses on iPad. The quote from the article is Illinois, make some noise. Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. went on an anti-technology rant on Friday on the floor of Congress, blaming the iPad for eliminating thousands of American jobs.
Does he not?
I
want to
do
that...
an accent, but it'd probably be bad, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
like,
don't.
I
want to
do a Jesse Jackson accent, but
no,
it wouldn't come
no,
out.
No, veto. All right, veto.
Why? Oh, why so bad? No. Why do you need to go to Barnes & Noble, buy an iPad, download your book, download your newspaper, download your magazine? I think that's a great idea.
Sure,
honestly,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, whose point are you trying to make here, Jesse? Jackson continued, what becomes of publishing companies and publishing company jobs, and what becomes of bookstores and librarians and all the jobs associated with paper? I'm actually doing like a Southern ignorant person's accent. I don't know why. In the not too distant future, such jobs simply will not exist. Steve Jobs is doing pretty well. He's created an iPad. Certainly, it has made life more efficient for Americans, but the iPad was produced in China, which... citation needed. It is not produced here in the United States.
Okay, so the physical production of the device, which supplies an outlet for countless numbers of app developers, novelists, newspapers, everything you can think of, all the software that goes onto that thing, most of it is written in the U.S., I would say.
Well, here's my thing. Even if he's got a point, you can roll it back 100 years and basically say, this new automobile,
sure,
everybody's going to be driving around. What's going to happen to the buggy makers? What's going to happen to the saddle makers? What's going to happen to the blacksmiths and the horseshoers and all the other
They
crap?
Turn into upholsterers for car seats. They turn into tire manufacturers. Things like that.
Tire manufacturing sounds pretty cool, actually.
Okay, you got a thing for melting shit down and turning it into something else, don't
you?
Yeah,
noxious fumes, melting things down.
Chewing on your earwax.
So what do you, let's ask this. Does he have a point about any of this? Is it bad, is it worth keeping some antiquated technology around on the pure principle that it might create jobs? It's kind of like a low-tech broken window theory. Like, one thief breaks a window, but that employs a guy to sweep up the glass, and then the glass maker and the window installer guy. It's like, look at all these jobs that were created with the mere act of destruction of property.
So it's a distribution of wealth argument.
I guess, but it's like, it seems like that's a less efficient way to do it. Like, the broken window theory, and I'm no economist. I'm no economist at all. But it seems to me that...
I thought that was going somewhere.
It seems to me that... that's an inefficient way to distribute income and make jobs anyway, because you take a guy who's a businessman or an individual, and you're removing a fixed sum of money, the cost it takes to replace that window, and you're taking that out of that private citizen's hands and just giving it to a bunch of people in the chain that brings him a new window, which you already paid at some point in the first place. So it's like, how is that actually creating jobs? Or creating wealth.
Well, it's forcing him to buy a new window. I mean, it's not really creating
wealth.
Yeah,
but what would he have bought with, let's say it's $200 to replace a window. What would that guy have done if he wasn't forced to build a window?
Yeah, it's not creating wealth. It does keep people employed. It does keep the money moving. Let's say he doesn't spend that money ever.
Sure, income circulation is important. If anything, I'd say that the United States has done too good a job at increasing circulation. Because
all of our money's overseas.
Well, not only that, but people just don't save.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, saving money is like money out of circulation, but it's kind of important to the civilization to have that kind of nest egg. And I don't know, like I'd wager most of our listeners don't save 3% of their income per year, let alone 5 or 10% that you need to actually, you know, successfully have a chance at retiring post Social Security.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's perceived wealth because the money is always moving, but I don't think you're actually generating any wealth when you bust a window. I mean,
well, but he's saying like now Borders is closing because why would you need to go to Borders anymore?
Sure.
Well, Barnes and Noble's not closing because they actually innovated with something called the Nook.
Mm-hmm.
And they saw like Amazon moving into this market and spent some R&D and have been able to maintain, you know, at least not keep the close their doors down. So I wonder if like, you know, we don't owe Borders an existence, right?
No,
just like Blockbuster. Blockbuster sat on its ass and they refused to get into the porn game, which keeps all the mom and pop shops in business.
Yeah.
And they didn't get into the kiosks and they got into online, but too little too late. And basically Netflix and Redbox has ate their shit up.
Oh yeah. Netflix is not going to stop. Netflix is going to be a juggernaut.
Yeah. So it's like, well, until the next thing. So it's like, what?
Yeah. It'll be the next Blockbuster, what they were back in their height.
So like, what the hell? I mean, should we be troubled that all these Blockbusters are going out of business?
I don't know. I mean, it's really not about the company, right? The company doesn't matter. We're talking about the people who are unemployed by this.
Right.
So I just say like, okay, so the people who have been manufacturing books, well, why don't they go out and start creating software for the iPad?
Yeah, you can't do that, though.
Why not?
What's going to happen is, like, because if you're a publishing company, you can't just be like, well, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to start selling, we're going to start making software.
Why can't you say that?
That company dies, and another company gets larger that is already doing that.
Okay, and the jobs shift to that company. Like, the job, I don't think jobs are lost at all.
I think it's like,
the only jobs that could conceivably be lost would be jobs that have just been moved overseas. It's not like,
okay.
And that might be a legitimate concern for a politician who's trying to run for office, but ultimately, everyone in the world needs to be doing something, right?
Right. And I'm just saying that, like, yeah, the economy is like fat cells.
Oh, boy.
People say they never disappear. They just grow and shrink. Well, if like one fat cell gets bigger, the other one has to get smaller. If you're a 35-year-old guy who's working in a publishing company and you're binding books and that job just goes away, you are probably SOL until you retool yourself, which could take anywhere from 1 to 5 years. Maybe you got to go back to college. Maybe you got to go take a trade school. Maybe you got to, you know, work two crappier jobs in the meantime. But it's definitely a hardship and it's no fun. I mean, as developers, we feel that pressure constantly, right? Like, you have to keep modern or you're going to be one of those, you know, COBOL dudes that's been unemployed for the last 10 years since the Y2K crisis.
Hoping
happened.
To hit the jackpot with a company who's still stuck on ancient architecture.
Right. And they're hoping for, like, what's the Linux next one? Is like the Y.
Oh, the Epic?
No, it's like the Y23 problem, because like it's...
Yeah, the Epoch or Epic, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, is that what they're calling it?
Yeah, because the clock for Linux runs over. Like, it hits the maximum size for a for an integer or whatever, for an unsigned...
I know they're calling it that, because I'm in management now. I've lost a touch of the working man.
I don't know. Anyway, but I don't really see that as a problem, because society has to move forward, right? And it always comes at a cost to someone.
Right.
It's not like everyone can be happy all the time and have progress still be made. So I think people who complain about technology aren't seeing the bigger picture. They're seeing these couple hundred jobs that are lost, a few thousand jobs that are lost, but they're not seeing the education that is then required the skill set that must be built for those people to get back into a more high-tech job, a more forward-thinking job, you know?
Mm-hmm. No, I just kind of sometimes muse because they say the United States is going to a service-based economy, and that's going to, like, sure. save us all. And it's like, well, what happens when that shits out? Like, for example, I just got a Kindle, mm-hmm. Which is amazing. I made an impulse purchase because, I'd hit a savings goal, and I've been putting off buying Kindle for, like, months now. Yeah. And I decided to do it late Friday afternoon, like a 4:18. I bought it.
To the minute.
At 10 o'clock, my doorbell rang Saturday morning, and it is at my door, and it was programmed with my Amazon account information in it.
Wow. And hand-delivered by a guy in an Amazon bow tie.
Like by Jeff Bezos or Bezos or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was incredible. And so I was like, I went and I bought a book, which this is 'cause some bullshit. And I was actually reading another book that I have in paperback. It's $7.99. I went to go buy it online because I wanted to read it right away. And it's like I was infatuated with this product. Guess how much it cost?
Well, I know how much it cost because you told me the other day.
Well, thanks for playing along for the listener suspense, jackass.
Hey, it's a Tuesday, man. I'm off my rhythm.
We are off our rhythm. So it's $9.99.
That's outrageous.
Which is discounted off the hardcover, but the fucking thing's in paperback. So you know what I did? I went on our favorite invitation only BitTorrent service uh-huh. and I downloaded the book for free.
Yeah. Yeah.
And once I got a taste of that, I went and started looking like everything I got in my library. I downloaded Tolkien. I downloaded Clancy. I downloaded Card. I downloaded Douglas Adams, all the stuff I have in my library.
Yeah.
But the temptation to just out and out, not pay for anything, like it's been a long time since I felt that impulse to just pirate stuff.
Yeah,
because I pretty much legit pay for video games, music, movies, all that kind of stuff because I'm an adult with a job and I feel like I should support the economy.
Sure.
And the publishers are getting wise about, like, you know, let them buy an album for $9 mm-hmm. and a DRM copy for 99 cents, whatever.
Yeah,
that seems fair. But if some jackass is going to make me pay $10 for an ebook that I can get brand new off a brick and mortar store for $7.99, I'm going to jack that shit.
Yes, because there is no hardcover, softcover in digital form.
I'm going to take their chain because I'm so Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't actually know what you're saying. But okay.
I don't understand. Like, that should never happen. There should be a rule. There should be a trigger in the Amazon.com database that says ebook price greater than paperback, subtract 50%.
Yeah, yeah.
How can they go live with a marketplace like that? And did you hear about the shit with the libraries?
No.
Okay. So you got free library books, the EPUB format, which for some reason Kindle doesn't support. So there's another thing I'm going to be jacking when I go to my local library. I'm going to be getting a bunch of EPUBs and then cracking that stuff. But so the publishers are saying to libraries, you have to buy the ebook again every 24 times you loan it out.
Oh,
because
the
real books actually wear out. I have two things. In what universe does a book wear out after 24 loans?
Yeah.
Unless it's like a children's coloring book where they're actively coloring in it and ripping pages out.
Even at the dentist's office. You remember those? what's the name of that magazine?
Highlights for Children?
Highlights,
they last for decades.
Absolutely.
I mean, have they never been to a fucking library book sale?
I guess not.
Like, you can see these books, they've been checked out. Like, in the old days, remember when they actually had cards?
Yeah, you can see how many times they were checked out.
Yeah, and they were still in, like, readable condition.
Yeah.
Well, so, like, number two... So fucking what? This format doesn't wear out. You're saying I have to buy it as if it does just to support your fucking crazy model?
Yeah, that's the mentality here, man. That is the mentality with the music companies and now the book companies. They all think that just their existence should justify a certain cost to the user. Well, that's not the case.
No.
The case is it's cheaper to distribute. It doesn't wear out.
Right.
Things like this don't happen to digital formats, so we shouldn't be paying this overhead that you were building into the price before.
See, here's what they should do. You get a book from the library for 99 cents, and when it's due and it's about to evaporate off your system, a window should pop up on your Kindle or Nook and say,
"Do you want
own
to
it
this?
For 99 cents.
Yeah.
That's a sale they wouldn't ever have gotten, and they probably, on a lot of people, because 99 cents is the magic point where people's logic go out the window and like, yes. Well, that's free.
Yeah.
And they would get fat stacks off this, but no. They're going to try to make libraries buy it, another digital copy, every 24 times they loan it out.
That's ridiculous.
It's bullshit.
Absolutely.
The other thing is, like, this guy's going on about newspapers and magazines. I don't feel a bit sorry, because I quit subscribing to the Indianapolis Star when I basically graduated high school and realized that, you know, my increased experience in education was not going to be reflected in the newspaper of record here in Indianapolis.
Okay.
I mean, have you ever read what passes as journalism and just, like, report? It's horrible.
No, I don't really read newspapers.
Well, that's why?
That might be why. I don't know.
I mean, it seems like, instead of, like, even the Indianapolis Star's website only updates on a daily cycle.
Hmm.
That's ridiculous.
They're still stuck in the mode, the newspaper mode.
I mean, they could have been pushing as e-ink, a decade ago, and been like, the newspaper updates all the time.
Yeah.
Fuck CNN and all that stuff. We got the flash coverage, and we got the in-depth coverage. I mean, that's the other thing that newspapers and magazines can do that CNN can't do, is follow up and tell you the full story and get, you know, mm-hmm. pay journalists the you know, track down records, and we need that stuff. I mean, that's what keeps government honest, and we don't have anybody turning over the stones, and, you know, we got WikiLeaks, yeah. and freaking yeah. journalists are being like, oh, you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't do reporting.
I just think it's wild that they're trying to, they're not leveraging the advantages of the new media, and they're trying to compensate for the disadvantages of the old media.
Right.
I really don't understand the mentality. They're stuck in this old media mentality.
And what sucks is we're going to reinvent journalism, because the newspapers are going to go mm-hmm. out of business, and all these bloggers uh-huh. that don't really know what the fuck they're doing
yeah.
are going to learn all about disclosure and, you know, protecting your witnesses and your sources and all this stuff like it's brand new. Mm-hmm. And we're going to discard 100 years of institutional wisdom just yeah. because the goddamn dinosaurs wouldn't innovate.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Because this Kindle e-ink technology has been around.
Sure. It's been expensive.
Yeah.
But it's been around, yeah.
But, like, Amazon, like, it costs a lot more than what I paid for this Kindle to make a Kindle.
Oh, but does it?
I'm pretty sure that was the case when it first came out. I mean, it's only $139, okay. my God.
Yeah.
It seems like it's, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're making money on the machines, too. That would be freaking awesome. But I don't know. I was just on the juxtaposition of me having this awesome experience with my new Kindle. And just, like, I buy a book and 30 seconds later, it's gone. Like, I've got a new book coming out, book 13 in the Dresden Files series, which I cannot plug enough. Jesus Christ. Read the Dresden Files by Jim Butcher, people. It's awesome. It's like, comes out in July. I've got it pre-ordered, so while it sits on my nightstand on the day it's released, it will automatically download yeah. and be ready to go. That's yeah. awesome.
That's amazing. That's one of the things I like about Steam, is preloading games
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to try to get onto the clogged server the second it comes out, along with all other 4 million users.
Which
of the
they
service.
Subverted me this time, because they did this whole thing of, like, well, if you buy the PS3 copy, you get the computer copy yeah. for free. So I didn't take advantage of that.
Yeah, you're an unlucky PS3 owner.
And I got dicked over, because if I had, I could have woken up early and played it. Because I actually planned on talking about the podcast. I was going to buy it at lunch, go home yeah. and play.
And you didn't.
I had the day from hell. We had all these storms go through Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
I was
yeah.
hopping all day long. And I barely made it time to cast. It's like, God damn it. They dangled that carrot of, like, 2 free copies.
Yeah, they gotcha.
And, you know, when Staffa talked about it, I thought I could, like, give the copy away to someone. No, they got it locked to your Steam account.
Do they? Yeah.
So it's like, I can't give you the copy that I got in my box.
Gotcha. Yeah.
But still, Steam on the PS3, that's got to be cool, right? I mean, anything better than the PlayStation 3 game. Buying it off there. Anything better than the PlayStation Network. That thing is horrible.
Yeah, the PlayStation Network is so bad. So bad.
I wish they made an interface so I could browse it on my computer.
Yeah, that'd
be cool.
So it's
like, because just browsing it makes me hurt. Like, I know, yeah. I've had an experience where I know what game I want. And I have to navigate, like, a million different things. Like,
yeah.
I wanted to buy Pixel Junk Shooter, and yeah. I went to go buy it under Shooter, because that's the fucking name of the game. It's not Pixel Junk Shooter.
Yeah,
it's
right?
just Shooter made by Pixel Junk.
Yep.
And it was under Pixel Junk. It's under P for Pixel Junk Shooter. What the fuck?
It should really be under both. Probably. To be honest. Yeah, because a lot of people know it as Pixel Junk Shooter.
That's a good point, because, like, I don't. This is all the database engineers, I guarantee. But, like, Walmart figured this out 20 years ago. You sell more shit when you put it in multiple places in a store.
Yeah.
Like, don't just put the cigarette lighters in the cigarette lighter section. Put it in the checkouts. Put it by your cigarettes. Put it by. You know, it's like, don't just put the suntan lotion in the health and beauty, but, like, if you got a swimsuit, you know, kiosk or whatever, throw it there, too.
Yeah.
They call it cross-promotion. So, yeah, make it easy for people to find your shit so they buy more of it. What a concept.
For sure. It makes total sense.
It's like the oatmeal.com. They did the, like, you know, things that people were making online shopping carts do to piss me off. And I still see that, like, I was doing Dotster.com and trying to register a domain, and I got one thing wrong, and it wiped out the whole form.
Oh, no, wrong.
That's how is this still happening in 2011?
I don't know, man.
People and should, like, be fired, sacked.
I was reading an article about someone who was complaining about the reset buttons on forms.
Right.
No need for a reset button. You never want to reset a form. The only thing that can do is cause you grief when you accidentally click it instead of submit.
And honestly, that is, I see that very, that's less and less.
Yeah, it is, but it's still there, which is ridiculous.
But problems like, you know, where you change one little thing and everything gets fucked up happens way too often on way too big a sites.
Yeah. It's so, people not knowing what they're doing with, like, JavaScript and all that.
And there's no excuse for it.
There isn't.
For Dotster, for Christ's sake? No way. Anyway, so that's my spleen vented.
That's it?
That.
That's all you got? Just a 40-minute rant?
Yeah, that's all. That's all. All
right. Well, then I'll bring my topic, my thunder. I want to talk a little bit about SOCOM 4.
Okay.
And I don't want to talk about the game.
Didn't you just profess ignorance of what that even meant last week?
Yeah.
SOCOM, what's
it means,
is that a new type of soap for men?
Yes, it's a...
It's Special Operations Command something, right?
Sure.
It's Call of Duty.
Special Operations Command on Mamas.
Medal of Duty Honor 3, right?
Yes,
it's
exactly.
One of those war games.
No, but, okay, so SOCOM 4 comes out, or came out, very recently. I've never played a SOCOM game. I don't care about SOCOM games.
Me either.
But what I do care about is Doctrine of First Sale.
Okay. Oh, they're fucking up.
They're doing the exact same thing that... I want to say EA was doing
Madden, right? Madden 84.
With Madden, yeah. They're basically charging you money to get certain features. Now, the interesting thing about this, and the reason I don't totally hate it, is because they're not charging you the fee to do multiplayer. They're charging it for the extras that you get. So what Sony's trying to do is they're trying to brand this. Yes, certain weapons, certain game modes, things like that. You can play online, but they will not let you use, like, certain weapons in certain game modes.
So basically you're paying for the privilege of not being raped online?
Because
we know from our experience at LAN parties that if you show up with a, like, right out of the shrink wrap copy of, like, Battlefield or Call of Duty, and these other fuckers have been playing for a week and unlocking all the weapons and, you know, getting all the good stuff, you will be the raped, you know? You will be dick-wolfed to sleep.
Yeah, you will.
So they're basically charging. So what's the extortion money? How much is it?
It's $15. It's gone up 50% from EA's $10 fee.
Literally a year from now, that will be 50% of the used copy. 50% of the used purchase price.
Yeah, and on something like Madden, it'll be like 400% the price.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because it was dropped like rocks.
Right.
So $15, but I don't know what the extent is of this. Like, I don't know if the weapons that they don't allow you to use are better than the weapons you can get if you don't pay for it.
Let me ask you this. Who's the publisher? Because if it's EA, I guarantee. If it's EA or Activision, I guarantee that it will be vital that you spend the $15 to compete.
That's a good... I think it's Sony, to be honest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they're the ones who are dubbing this SOCOM Pro. The $15 thing gives you SOCOM Pro as an enhancement for new game buyers.
The thing is, SOCOM might be one of those games because it's kind of a minor franchise, isn't it?
Sure, but the whole point of this thing is to play online. So that's the reason that they couldn't cut off the online mode, because no one would buy it at that point, right?
Right. What I'm saying is I bet that one of the things that keeps some of these games going or gives it longevity is you got the hardcore nucleus to play.
Sure.
But you have to have new people buying it to like keep adding to the people that you lose to keep it viable so servers aren't just ghost towns.
Yeah.
So what happens when they start charging $15, people are going to know that and they're not going to buy it. Or if they're going to buy it, they're going to try it and be like, what? How come I can't, you know, get all the good stuff and quit playing? They're sure. actually going to artificially shorten the life of their game.
Do they really care about that, though, if all they're selling is used copies?
Man, I don't know. I mean, like,
they want
one
their
things...
games to die. If they're hosting servers that cost them money to keep them up, they want their games to die as quickly as possible, as long as they've gotten all their new copies sold.
But one of the things that made Valve so successful is how freaking good an investment Half-Life was.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Half-Life 2.
Yeah.
I mean, by far, Valve games I've logged the most hours. When I add up all of the Half-Life and the Classic Deathmatch.
Counter-Strike.
I was in Team Fortress Classic. I played that Natural Selection. Then I was all about Half-Life
Killing
2
Floor.
And Left 4 Dead and Team Fortress 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've logged hajillions of hours, and that's why I'm going to be a day one purchaser of Portal. That never happens. Like, you know this. Like, I've bought Rock Band, Little Big Planet 2, and now Portal 2. Those are my day one purchases. Everything else gets bought used months after the fact because Valve is hot, and I know dicks to donuts that they're going to release add-ons to and map packs and all kinds of stuff for Portal.
Sure, yeah.
It's going to be a good investment, even at, like, whatever they're charging for it.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten so much play out of just, like, Left 4 Dead. That series.
Oh, God.
That alone has been worth my purchase.
Half-Life 2, Orange Box, and I guess Portal 2. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's we're talking about $200 investment, and the money, the pleasure that I've gotten out of
it's
that.
Less than a dollar an hour, for sure.
So Sony really thinks that they're going to recoup. I mean, what? That's one thing. It's like, what do they think? Do they really think this is going to be a significant revenue stream? Because I think people just not buy it on the open market.
Well, I don't really know why this is such a concern of theirs, because isn't this really all just going to go away with, like, the next generation of consoles, and as soon as we get digital distribution really up and running?
Right. So all they're doing is sowing they're damaging their franchises.
Sure.
And they're generating ill will among their consumer base.
Check.
On a thing that's going to go away with the next generation.
Check.
And last I heard, video game publishers are making billions of dollars.
Last I heard, yeah.
I mean, that's what they were talking about. Bigger than Hollywood. I heard the words bigger than Hollywood thrown around. I've marveled at that fact.
Well, I was talking about my dick, to be fair. So
mine's just barely bigger than Bollywood. It's significantly less in scale and scope. But, fun and very dramatic. My penis. breaks out in song and dance at the drop of a hat.
Wow.
More like old school classic Hollywood.
Gotcha.
Gotcha. But
I don't know where you're going with this.
I don't know where I came from, honestly.
Neither do I.
Again, if the little guys were doing shit like this, of course that wouldn't make sense either, because who buys, you know, an indie game used?
Nobody.
You just pirate the shit. And I just don't understand. I mean,
or you buy it on the Steam sale when it's $3, you know?
Right.
Like, that's what I wait for. I really don't buy any games unless they're below $15.
Digital distribution, for as much as people say, oh, you know, DRM, it does solve a lot of market problems.
How so?
Like, okay, you've sold every copy you're going to sell this game for $59.
Mm-hmm.
$29.99. Boom, you're going to make another boatload of cash.
Yeah,
you sold all the copies you can at $29.99, $7.99. Boom. And that's just found the money.
Yeah.
You weren't going to make it anyway.
Yeah, that's like the iPhone effect, where a developer will release an app for like $3 and let it tail off and then get a big advertising push and put it to $1.
Right.
And say, everybody jump on board. And they do. They really do. When those...
Right.
Because it's a perceived value thing, right? It's like, oh, man, I'm getting this game super cheap.
Right.
Whereas that may be their cost. That's extra money for them, like you said.
But you got a three-year-old game, and you're selling it at Christmas time for $1.99.
Mm-hmm.
That's not much, but every single penny of that is going to be profit. It's going to be money that you wouldn't have got if you had thrown it out there for $49.99.
Sure, absolutely.
So it's like, I don't understand why these people are so busy pissing off customers and eroding brands that are going to have value in the future next-gen market.
Yeah, It makes no sense to me. Although I want to ask you this. What do you think, is there an upside to this? Because EA blocked multiplayer altogether, unless you pay them $10. Now, these guys aren't blocking multiplayer. Sony's not blocking any particular area of the game to you, except for what they consider extras, the pro enhancement.
It's less offensive than the EA thing.
Okay, because I agree with that.
However, I think it's still going to be a bummer to, like, if I'm an uninformed consumer and I buy SOCOM 4 and I get it home and I start thinking online's fun, but I find out that the servers are deserted because everybody's, like, all the new players have moved on and all the old players, you know, couldn't play with pro mode, so they gave up.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. It's
setting people up for disappointment, right? Right. Any way you cut it.
Right.
People are going to be disappointed. They're going to go to GameStop. They're going to buy their game thinking, I'll go play this.
Plus, and everyone they says they don't have how bad the aftermarket, the secondary market is. And I just don't, I can't see that it's that big a deal. It's like everyone goes on about, like, piracy. I know piracy is bad and it loses sales.
Sure.
But it's not like, you know, it's like, okay, there's 10 million copies of your game pirated out there. Those are not 10 million sales that you lost.
Yeah.
You've got probably 10% of that you lost.
Because if
there's no physical way to pirate it, most of these people just wouldn't buy your fucking $60 game and they wouldn't be playing it.
And here's the other thing. Piracy can actually gain you customers as well. Because, no, I've done this before where I download a game, I play it, and I'm like, you know what? This is a really good game. I did this with Sins of the Solar Empire. I played the game and I thought, wow, this is really cool. And I feel like I should pay the developer for having made this game.
So I go and effectively
make a donation. Yeah, it does happen.
I got X-Wing at an old school BBS party where we're swapping floppies. I got home like, this is the most fucking amazing game I've ever played, and then I bought it that weekend. Yeah, but that happens very damn rarely.
Sure, absolutely. But is it not a sale that they would not have gotten otherwise?
Oh, yeah.
Had you not been able to play the game, you probably wouldn't have.
So once in my 34-year gaming career, that's happened.
There you go. Once every 34 years, another sale.
I think the other argument is more persuasive, the fact that you are not going to convert those people to sales. It seemed like Adobe Photoshop. People are pirating our shit. Yeah. Starving college kids are pirating your shit. People that are like...
People who physically can't buy it.
People that are, you know, twiddling their, you know, the red eye on their pets for their Christmas card are not buying it. But freaking companies do, because it's not worth pirating. It's not worth the risk of getting caught. So, like, you're not losing all those $400, $500 sales.
No, because you're getting it into the minds of customers. Photoshop becomes a mainstream thing because people know how to use it.
Exactly.
Well, when you go to the company asks you, what software do you use? You're going to say Photoshop. And if they hear that over and over, that's what they're going to start using.
I mean, why do they think that Microsoft gives away their software to universities? Yeah. Literally gives it away for the cost of the distribution disk.
Yeah. It's to get people familiar with the software.
People are already familiar with Microsoft. They're just that stranglehold just gets deeper with every passing generation. Every person graduates with, you know, a student copy of Windows 7 and Word and all that crap is another generation that they've got.
Yeah,
they're not going to try Linux.
Absolutely.
So, anyway.
So yeah, it's crazy. We don't need to get into the whole piracy thing right now. We did a little bit, but I think this is a good thing and a bad thing.
I think it's a desperate thing and a thing that I don't understand. If I'm a executive playing long term, I don't see how this became a company objective. Who made this decision? I see this shit happen all the time at my work. Like the marketing department comes up with something to stop a perceived problem. I'm like, nobody thinks that way.
Yeah.
Nobody. Like, I sometimes feel like I'm the only sane person in the world because I'm the IT guy at the table with all these executives and marketing people and salespeople, and they're like, we gotta stop this, so we're gonna do why. And I'm like, really? Like, you know, I can't really. Should I talk about work? At a very macro level?
All right,
gas is $4 a gallon.
All right.
Is giving 3 cents off with swiping a loyalty card going to make an impact at all?
On a decision to purchase?
It did when gas was... And you're not advertising on the street, neither, because you can't legally do that. Unless you get your sign changed, you can do both, and we're not going to do that. When gas is $1.50, 3 cents off was kind of like, okay, a thing.
Yeah, I guess.
But now that gas is $4, I mean, am I the only person that thinks that way? 3 cents off of $4, what the hell? That's going to reverse our sales, our poor sales trend?
The less than 1% of the...
Yeah. So...
No, probably not. But, I mean, the whole thing is about profit with them, right? I mean, they want to make more money.
Yes.
So that's the mentality.
Their heart's in the right place.
That's the No. It's
no, but
not.
I mean that. Like, for a company, yeah, you should make more money. That's your objective.
Sure,
I just think they do stupid things to do it.
Yes, they're doing it at all costs, and I don't think they realize this. This is a problem I have with a lot of our economic system, but the profit is the number one goal short term. They don't think about the long-term effects very hard because they're interested in keeping their shareholders happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that's what Sony's doing. Like, if they thought about this, they would realize that this is not going to be an issue much longer. Within the next 5 years, it'll probably be mostly digital distribution. So they don't need to piss off the customers, like you said, right now, because it will be a moot point later on.
I just think it's like these companies that spend, like, I see a lot of these startups that, and I've actually been following Mark Cuban with that Shark Tank stuff. And he like companies preemptively waste so much money on things they think they're going to need.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, we need to get all this shit locked, you know, down and all this content. So the users and, you know, we need to monetize it. And it's like, what? You don't got anything to monetize.
Yeah.
Like, if you told me that like a year later, they made 1,000 sales of this.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be shocked. I would actually think that's about right. I bet exactly 1,000 people buy the pro mode from, and if that's the case, it wasn't even worth programming.
Yeah.
Literally was not worth programming to make $15,000.
I guarantee don't know you if 1,000 people is going to be the number. I think it's going to be much higher.
How, what's the sales for SOCOM? And what's the,
I don't know. I would assume it's around 1 million, right? It's got to be high.
So what's the aftermarket sales? Do they sell another 1 million copies in the aftermarket? I don't know. So.
I honestly have no idea what the numbers are.
I just, like, I'm saying that's one of the things where, like, it's such a new thing and the gamers are kind of polarized that, you know, like, so, okay, here's the thing. How cheap does SOCOM have to get on the aftermarket before it's worth not just buying the new? Maybe that's the whole idea. They're trying to. I just figured it out.
Oh boy,
what? They're trying to retard the aftermarket sales.
Sure,
because right now they're selling a new $60.
Mm-hmm.
So GameStop has to sell that sucker for basically $30 to start making it attractive.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty obvious.
I didn't know. Well, maybe I mean, I'm just that fucking stupid.
That's a discussion I hear about, like, when I read the comments. In these kind of articles.
So they're basically trying to keep the primes, the full price. GameStop. They're trying to make the full price sales more attractive longer.
Yeah.
So the aftermarket guys. But the thing is, I don't think, man, all GameStop has to do is be like, well, that's SOCOM bullshit. That's when the gamers come to trade it in, I'm going to give you $5 for that, son. But it just came out last month. And,
sure.
And it's like, it's going to, like, I just think it's going to make the users mad at the publisher. Again.
Or GameStop. I think it's going to come back on GameStop a little bit because when you go in, Johnny's not going to ask, well, why can I only get $5?
On the other hand, SOCOM, $29.99, month after it came out, used.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, like, there's good.
But then you got to pay your $15 code, but I guess people don't know that.
Only the people trading in their games are going to be mad, and the guys are going to be like, I bet they're coached.
But it's a one-to-one there, right? Like, it's one person trades in the game, one person buys it. So isn't it
evenly split? Yeah, but the Sony executive is not there to explain their side of the story. It's some cool gamer dude, or, like, I've noticed a lot of GameStop's employing gamer chicks.
So they're just going to say Sony's being a dick.
They're going to say Sony's being a dick, and, you know, it's hurting our sales because people know they got to pay $15 for it, so I can only give you this much because I have to deduct that $15 that you're keeping, even though you're never going to play it again.
Yeah.
You've lost the advantage of the pro edition.
Yeah,
I'm taking that pro tax, and I have to take it out of what I'm giving you. That's a that makes sense. It makes total sense, and it makes Sony look like a dick.
Yeah.
You know? And there's no Sony executive saying there, look, we're just trying to drive these people out of business, dude.
Yeah.
The place that gives you credit for your games and all that kind of stuff.
But that's the thing. GameStop is... The market is going to drive GameStop out of business regardless.
Yes. I mean, GameStop is...
So why not just let it happen naturally and not piss off everybody around you?
Right.
Yeah. Makes no sense.
You're right. Although, I don't know. I mean, GameStop...
they're trying to transition into they digital seem distribution
to be,
platform.
They seem to be savvy enough. Like they got that shifty pawn shop mentality.
Oh yeah, give us your $5 now, 16 months ahead of time, so we can put it into the stock market and make a shitload of money.
Right.
And then we might have your game when you show up on game day.
I just don't know how, because like stuff like Steam and Sony Network and Microsoft Network, I think they're going to be like, you know, if GameStop thinks they're going to be the middleman for like digital distribution, no.
I think they're not going to be able to have like your own platform.
They're not going to be able to do GameStop online. No way.
No, I think Steam's platform, and Steam is the one that is going to be big.
I mean, I'm amazed that. This is like a whole other discussion, but I'm kind of amazed Sony let them on.
To the PS3?
That's like...
Now, what's on the PS3 as far as Steam goes? It's not the actual client that can run all the games. And...
No, you can't run PC games on a PlayStation 3, but what it does do is it lets you see all your friends.
Okay.
It's basically...
So it's a secondary network.
It's a foot in the door. Sony, who has their own network, and they basically are letting the 800-pound gorilla of digital distribution get their foot in their door.
That's interesting, because I know Microsoft would never do that.
No.
Never.
No, because that's a move Microsoft would do.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, man, let's help you out. It's going to be good for your sales. And you know, pretty soon you're just gobbled up, you know?
Yeah. So I don't know what that's going to do to Sony's platform, like a digital distribution platform. I think they may replace it. Like, it's got to cost them something to run it, right? So if they can get a cut of the revenues from Steam on their platform, maybe they'll end up making more money than trying to run it themselves.
And see,
because they're doing such a piss-poor job of it.
And Steam can do awesome... Like, Valve can do awesome things.
Yes.
Like, you know what? We're going to give away a free PC version of every PS3 game we sell.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah.
It's not... You're not losing a sale. And,
no.
And that, like, that's... I would have never bought Portal on a PlayStation 3.
Right?
Never. And they would have never gotten Steam on my PlayStation 3 if they hadn't pulled this shit. It's
and
brilliant.
That makes it more attractive to licensees who are trying to bid their games on the PS3.
Yeah.
They can also get them on Steam and have people buy them for a free copy. Yeah, so I think there are benefits in that for Sony. But I think Microsoft is just doing everything right in that regard with online. They're doing it so much better than Sony is.
Well, they had they're basically, do you think their games for Windows or, you know, didn't they have the thing where they were trying to make like Halo on the computer and Halo on the Xbox all work together?
Sure, which is always a colossal failure.
But it failed. So it did fail, but that's what Steam, eventually their end game is going to be.
Yeah.
They want to get all that stuff going. They want to make where... Maybe you can't play together, but like, I think that I read that the only reason to save files between the PS3 version, like if I got to a particularly hard place and I wanted to go upstairs and play on my PS3, the only reason that they're incompatible is because of an agreement they made with Sony. So,
which is ridiculous to me. They've already got the sale. It's just so dumb, right?
I know.
Like, it's an arbitrary restriction on the user who's going to just get pissed off.
It's
again.
Just like I talked about, like, when I bought a PlayStation 3 and I was outraged that I had to use a disc to make my Netflix work because Netflix signed an exclusive discless agreement with Microsoft.
Uh-huh.
That didn't sway my decision to buy a goddamn PlayStation 3 or Xbox. It just pissed me off as a consumer. And 9 months later, as soon as it expired, yoink, I got the disc out, snapped it in half, and I'm running my integrated client.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I don't know.
So that's all I have to say on that. I think we covered that.
Are we ready
really
for our
well.
Bullshit segment?
We are. Do you have any bullshit? I really don't have any bullshit this week.
I got this. So I brought Dominion over tonight because we're going to play after the cast.
Yes.
And
awesome.
I realized I could fit the entire Dominion game into like a magic fat backpack.
Oh, I thought you were going to say in your pocket. Big pockets.
I could fit a fat pack in my pocket. You know, these cargo shorts.
You're already fitting. Never mind.
Yeah, I am.
Not going there.
No, I think that's like, so it's like, I'm like, why did they ship me this ginormous box?
See, but you're
for a game that would fit in a fat pack, like not even take up the whole fat
you
pack.
You are an abomination when it comes to the mentality
I
of
am.
Packaging.
Oh.
Because you throw away like the cardboard sleeves and DVDs. Like,
I do.
You throw away any packaging that is not essential to hold the physical item that you want to use.
And I've been on record of being outraged that, like, the Toy Story toy box came in a physical toy box with a bunch of fucking foam that spaced the disc an inch apart would take up a foot on my bookshelf.
And most people would say, oh my god, that's awesome, I love the presentation. You say, fuck that noise, I want a disc. Just hand me a disc, and
I want
good.
It in a protective sleeve, sure.
Barely. But you want the minimal sleeve possible.
Yeah, like if I could get, like, have you seen on my bookshelf? I actually started doing this. I converted a bunch of my DVDs to mini discs.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can fit literally two in the space of one. And I don't know why you're not down with me on this, man, because you are all about eliminating clutter physical possessions.
But I'm also
packaging like a motherfucker.
I'm also a bit of a collector.
Oh, and that's the mentality.
That's the mentality that comes into play there.
If I've got some kind of bullshit prismatic 3D cover on my copy of Batman Begins, mm-hmm. that's something I have to unslide every single time I take the disc out.
Yeah.
And I have to store separately from the box, or I'm going to have to slide it off to put it back into the disc.
Sure.
And it does nothing but look pretty. And I'm not a chick. So I throw that fucker away. And what really blows my mind is when I've gotten a couple, like, I think the case to Iron Man was literally the same picture. There was mm-hmm. nothing special about the sleeve. It correctly emulated the front and back of the cover. So it's like, what? It's like those, you know, those little
plastic. That's kind of ridiculous to me. If there's no special artwork on it, yeah.
But, and the other thing is, like, you know, I had this, like, Terminator 2. I had, like, the fucking awesome edition back, like, 6 years ago. And it came in a chrome, like a metal tin with a raised skull. Mm-hmm. It was larger than my DVD shelf. It wouldn't fit in the space where, so it's like, I just threw it away. It actually hurt me because I'm like, man, that's kind of cool and metal, but like it wouldn't fit in my shelf. It defeats the whole purpose of having a media, you know, specific.
I can't bring myself to throw that away. Now, okay, justify to me throwing away the box for a board game. Like, dice rolling capabilities alone. I know there are no dice in this game.
I'm saying this particular game, there's a lot of wasted space, so why wouldn't I? What intrinsic value does... I'm never going to sell the game on the market, because I don't roll that way.
Okay.
Like, I know you do.
I do.
I think some of this is just, you're always thinking of, like, in a year, I'm going to sell this on eBay anyway.
You're right. That's part of it.
But, like, so Dominion, I'm going to keep and play and enjoy for years and years and years. Why would I have that take up that much space on my shelf when I could... And I can take it to PAX now because it's a fat pack. It'll fit in my thing.
Sure. In your fanny pack.
I can put like a no bullshit sticker on it so people that think it's like magic will actually kind of enjoy it when I, you know, pop off the top of that. It's actually Dominion.
Sure.
I mean, I guess I'm like,
why
wouldn't I?
You're coming at it from a very practical perspective. And I'm torn here. I really am between my collector and my minimalist practical mentalities.
I am a pragmatic bastard. I have been called that by several girlfriends.
Because, those specific words, huh?
Emotion, unless you're talking pets, children, your parents, it has no sway with me. It has no, I can understand because I've been, you know, I've loved the pet.
Okay.
You know, I've lost one as a child, lost one as an adult.
I
can understand, but I can't understand emotional appeals to things that have no, like. You know, it's like when we were arguing about collecting nostalgia, I'm like, why wouldn't you just emulate it? Because it's not the same. I'm like, well, then get a Nintendo controller.
Well,
but I don't get the whole, you know, blowing on the cartridge and jiggling just right. I'm like, that's the bullshit that you had to go through to play the goddamn game.
See, that's different because that
there's not a blowing and jiggling game. At least none that's not X-rated. You know,
not on
Fleshlight 360 Kinect Sex Series.
Well, that has nostalgia attached to it, so that is a little more justifiable in my opinion.
Did I just not say that I'm not?
Emotional appeals. Are a freak in that regard. Would
Maybe.
You not agree?
I don't know.
Most people get very nostalgic for certain things.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just a cyborg over here.
Here's what I'm saying. That has nostalgia attached to it, so I understand that, and I do that myself. But when it comes to the new stuff that has no nostalgia, no meaning to you, you're right. Why would you keep it? Unless you have like the collector mentality where you know you're going to sell it down the line. But yeah, if you're not going to sell it, why would you keep it?
Because the Kindle comes in this awesome box. It's perfect to ship it.
I kept my iPhone box. I kept my
And
MacBook
I should because
box.
I know that they're going to come out the Kindle 4 in December and I'm going to want it. And I can probably sell the Kindle 3 for $75 on the open market. And I just basically made it that much harder by throwing away a box.
Yeah, that's true.
But I threw away the box.
See, that to me seems like a bad decision at that point.
I don't know, man.
When you know you're going to sell it because The value does go down without a box.
I mean, I might not.
You're pretty sure. You were talking about selling it the day after you got it. So,
but only to get a new one. I mean, I don't know. Because the other, like I just said, I think that in my mind, as I was making a mental calculus, I could keep this box. It's a foot-by-foot-by-one-inch box around for a goddamn year.
Sure.
Or I can go to mailboxes, et cetera, and pay the monkey $3 to pack my Kindle and sell it just as well. So basically, that $3 is ridding my life of a, you know, 1/10 of a cubic foot of clutter.
Sure, but you're going to get less money for it because people like boxes.
You think so?
I know for a fact you will. Yes.
You really think so?
Everything I've ever sold goes for less money without packaging. Without the official packaging.
See, the only thing I've ever done that is like for motorcycles. Mm-hmm. You'll see that in my garage is like a Guggenheim Museum exhibit. I've got like the original exhaust, the original fairing, the original seat, all hanging up on the wall like a display because I know for a fact. But that seems practical to me because the reason a lot of people sell used bikes and have brand new exhaust and stuff is because they just fucking threw it down the pavement. Did a bunch of damage, and they replaced with cheaper aftermarket parts, and then be like, look, I tricked it out.
So you're saying you can prove that it's never been wrecked or anything.
Exactly, because look at all this pristine stuff I got hanging on my wall. Like a Nook, if I have a pristine box, there's nothing that says I didn't drop this motherfucker a million times or take it through the shower or whatever. It's just a box.
You can't do that?
No, it's not like, you know, it's not like I switched the external casing or anything.
No, but I'm telling you.
Because the collectors.
When you go to sell it, you'll know, yeah. Like, it will bring less value simply because you didn't
for
have
stuff
the packaging.
Like utilitarian stuff like Kindles and iPhones, or is that just for like, I understand like
no,
for toys and video games very much because part of the joy is the box.
Yeah, it was. When I went to sell my G1, when I had that, I got basically what I paid for it because I had all the packaging. And I was looking around and on eBay, everything that didn't have packaging was going for much less.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, so, especially electronics and games and stuff like that. Yeah.
I might be wrong.
So
you might.
I don't know. Dominion's a pretty big box, so if you can.
Yeah, and I know I'm not going to sell that.
Yeah.
To me, it's like this box is literally 1/6 the size.
Sure. Yeah.
And like I started getting the idea when I saw people selling aftermarket storage devices that convert the base Dominion box into a box that holds all 6 of the sets.
Oh, sweet.
And then I'm like, I've got all these Magic. Freaking because I never play Magic. I'm never going to play Magic again.
Yeah, probably not.
Unless they fucking give me a free booster set in like my Gen Con package and I can play standing in line. I'm never playing Magic again. So why wouldn't I put these empty fat packs to use? I got 6 of them. I can hold every Dominion set and then they're all modular and I don't know.
Go for it, man.
So that's a little bit of bullshit.
I've got no bullshit.
You got no bullshit?
None.
No bullshit.
There is no bullshit in my life right now. I have eliminated all bullshit. Oh, okay, let's go with some bullshit.
You just manufactured some in the last 3 seconds.
Because I know the PA guys are going to call me out on Panfi again.
Oh,
so
Christ.
Preemptive strike here.
Ooh.
Actually, it won't be because we come out 2 days after them.
It's post-emptive. We actually talked to them last night and they were going to record the cast as soon as we got them talking to us.
That's true. And if people don't know who we're talking about when we say PA, it's Personal Arrogance, guys. Go over to personalarrogance.com or go to pa.baldmove.com.
Right.
That'll take you right over there.
Yeah. Licensee sites.
But I know that they're going to call me out on this, so I just want to say...
Shouldn't you at least say what Panfi is?
Personal Arrogance Nerd Fitness Initiative.
Yep.
Basically trying to get our lazy asses up off our gaming couches.
A noble goal.
I think so. And not necessarily just get us off the couch, but get us eating right, get us healthier in general.
Yeah.
I like it because I'm about as healthy as I'm probably ever going to get as far as my habits go right now.
Right.
Because I have, let me just describe to you the stuff that I've done in the past few weeks. I've been.
Please brag. Humble brag.
Well, they called me out on this twice, so now I have to respond,
okay.
You know? So I've been eating all organic foods lately.
Mm-hmm.
Been eating mostly like vegetables and fruits and nothing processed. My drinks, I'm down to 1 cup of coffee a day, and that is literally, other than water, the only thing I drink. So I have no sodas, no carbonation, no artificial sweeteners, no non-artificial sweeteners.
And I can vouch that his stool now is soft, warm, and
longer,
and smells no more than a biscuit.
But I have been biking, I've been playing tennis, I've been working out 3 times a week. I just got a ridiculous workout last night. It was awesome. I've been super healthy. I've been about as healthy as I've ever been in my life. The only thing I'm cutting out now is caffeine. That's the last thing that's got to go, and I feel like I'm doing everything right.
Yeah, I mean, kudos to you. You are the healthiest nerd I know.
Okay.
Suck
it, personal arrogance. Suck it.
I try. I had basically...
You're doing boxing. You're doing all sorts of Tai Chi. I don't really count as anything.
But I'm also doing, like, active. I rode my bike out to meet you guys, except for somehow some bullshit reason we actually didn't hook up.
Yeah, we missed each other on the same road.
A gate stopped you. I don't know. Yeah. Trespassing.
But it was Bill Gates.
Well... you just grab him by the face and shove him down. Or a pie. A pie will stop him. Make him go away.
A cream pie.
We'll defeat him. I had kind of epiphany today because I was reading some articles about sugar. And I've been thinking about this for a while because, I read all these athletes are kind of, getting long in the tooth, like Steve Nash and Shaq, how they've switched to, yoga and cut sugar out of their diet.
It's not the only thing Shaq's long in.
I don't call him Shaq Diesel, Superman.
What?
For nothing.
I didn't
Shaq
know they
Diesel.
Called him that.
Yeah, Mac. They've had these career resurgences or extended the usefulness of their career by cutting out sugar.
Not the only thing he's extended.
Jesus Christ, man. oh, God. What else can I... I'm mentally censoring to see if I can keep you from making another dick joke. So I watched this thing on YouTube today where this professor basically argued that sugar is kind of a toxin.
Okay.
And that, And he wasn't going from the processed sugar as an evil to itself. He's basically saying that in nature, whenever you eat sugar, you usually eat an equivalent and healthy amount of fiber. Like you eat an apple, it's got natural fiber. You eat a banana, it's got fiber. You eat all this stuff has about the only fruit that doesn't is watermelon.
Sugar cane.
Sugar cane's got fiber I mean, it's basically is sugar soaked fiber.
Nice.
But that made sense to me. And I'm thinking that I'm going to try to cut sugar out of my diet, just extra sugar. I'm going to go more fruits and vegetables. I've already eliminated basically all meat except for poultry and fish, and I'm not going to give that up because meat's delicious. I've cut pork. I've cut most beef. I'll go ahead and have a steak, but I used to eat ground beef a pound a week, and a couple ounces of pork chop here and there, and I've just basically stopped doing that, and I've switched to whole grain everything.
Yeah,
basically things with a low glycemic intake, or a very low GI rating, whatever
the glycemic
that means.
index.
That's what it was. Because I I used to weigh 295 pounds.
Damn,
I was almost at 300, and I'm it was just before I was this is too much.
Yeah, when you push 300, notice.
I actually had a pact with my ex where I'm if I ever weigh 300 pounds, I want you to take me to a fat camp because I've clearly lost all control of myself. Over the course of a year, got down to 250, and I have not been able to crack that barrier. I've maintained that whole time to 250, but I've still got a spare, gut. And this has been through running a mini marathon and all the training through that.
You did a shitload of active stuff.
So I'm it's got to be diet, right?
It is.
It's
got to
be right?
I've seen your diet.
It's got to be it's got to be Fuego. Yeah. So it's not the healthiest in the world because I eat a lot of processed stuff and a lot of, and I just switched to having a salad a night, and I'm amazed at how much better I feel just with that.
Yeah. It's
all
really
that roughage.
Amazing. Sure.
I'm regular ladies. So,
oh boy. He's pimping himself.
I've joined
out on
the regulars at the office.
Wow.
Have you seen that fucking commercial?
No.
God, it's called the Join the Regulars at the Office, where it's you see these guys walking towards the bathroom, and it's morning, Jim, morning, Bob. And it's they're checking in, it's a bathroom.
Wow.
I couldn't look a guy in the face if every day I came in and we crapped together at the same time.
Yeah, I don't want
clockwork.
My cycles to match up with another dude.
No.
That's not what you want.
No, you don't. I'm trying to attract a fitness level from eating because I think I'm already reasonably fit by nerd standards and, cardio and
because when you say 250, you're a big dude.
Yeah. I'm 6 foot two and I'm built large, with, even when I was
a
my
brick
ideal
shit house.
Weight when I was 18, I was not I had thick Finch post legs.
Yeah.
I'm hung like a Coke can.
It's not the only thing he's hung like. Wait, what?
What? What did that even mean, man?
I was trying to go for the trifecta, but you haven't given me anything to go on here.
Well, but when I actually say I made a penis joke, you can't then make another penis joke on top of
that. That was the joke, man. That was the joke.
It's like it's an infinitely recursive dick joke. You can't play with primal forces like that. It could cause the whole cast to collapse. Are we out of bullshit?
We're out of bullshit.
We have no feet because we did the old okie doke on Staffa. Speaking of the regulars, he's like clockwork on Wednesday morning. We had the last minute change the podcast schedule, so we have fucked him out of his Staffa's corner.
Yep.
And that's a problem.
Taste it.
But we'll either double up for him next week or he has a week off. I'll send him an email tonight saying, Don, it's up to you. It's up to you. We can either double up and do a half-assed job on both of them, or you can take the week off and we will put our full attention to one Staffa's corner on episode 61. Of Blue Yonder.
Alrighty.
With that said, wait, I just stole your line.
Yeah, you can't do that.
All right.
We have to give them the info. They heard our cast. They loved it, obviously.
Right.
We need to tell them where they can go to promote
it. Told them. Now we're going to tell them what we told them.
And
it's
then we got to tell them.
Repetition for emphasis.
Why we told them what we told them.
Yeah, it's repetition for emphasis.
Sure. We didn't mention iTunes, though, so we can go ahead and mention that now.
Yes.
Go search for Blue Yonder on iTunes.
I don't want to mention iTunes because I'm pissed at them. People keep leaving us reviews on the old fucking defunct.
Yeah, okay, here's what you do. You go to the iTunes. If you don't see 60 episodes, you don't leave a review there. You go to the other feed.
Right. It's actually the Blue Yonder under video games, right?
There's a
Blue Yonder Enhance, which was a bad idea. Like, we're going to stick with enhanced content. There's a Blue Yonder under hobbies in general. Those are both bad. Very bad.
Yeah, don't go to those.
Find one of 60 episodes. That's a good rule of thumb.
It's a pretty good giveaway. If you're listening to episode 60 and you don't see episode 60 in the feed.
Yeah. But we'd appreciate 5-star reviews especially, but any review. Because, again, we're thinking of changing stuff up. We would definitely like
your
guys' feedback on that.
For sure. And as we said before, go to Twitter. We're at Bald Move. Go to Facebook. We're at facebook.com/baldmove. Go to our forums, forums.baldmove.com. Email us, blueyonder@baldmove.com.
We will read anything that you send up to 60 seconds of showtime.
No, we won't. No. What? I'm cutting it off. I'm chopping that rule in half.
Really?
Snapping it in half like a Netflix disc.
I don't believe you.
If
someone sent us feedback, good or bad, we're going to read that motherfucker.
Nope. Absolutely not.
Like, what would cause you not to read it if it was just basically like an extended Baba Booey?
If it was
like
boring.
Howard Stern joke?
If it was offensive, if it was boring, if it made no sense,
if it makes no sense, it better be fucking funny.
There are a multitude of reasons why I would not read your feedback.
You're an anti-namite?
I'm kidding. We'll read it.
All right.
Sure, we'll read
it.
All
Unless
right.
it is boring or offensive or we don't like the name.
Then we're not reading it.
Uh-uh.
With that said, this has been a cast, and I've been Jim Jones.
And I have been Aaron Hubbard. Ciao.